walk with Him. All right? Now, this is not a method so much as it is teaching about a deep relationship with the Lord who loves you. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? That He loved you
amen.
While you were yet a sinner?
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. He loved you then, He loves you now, and He'll love you tomorrow too. Let me let you know this, that you are going to mess up. You will sin.
Because
we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There ain't one of you out there, one of us up here, that is righteous. Amen. The only thing we can depend on is God and His grace on us. That big word that I like to say because I finally learned how to say it, propitiation, meaning covering. It's God's righteous covering over this. I want to be crude, but I just can't be right now. Amen. Because there's a crude thing that was going to come out of my mouth. And see how the Holy Spirit said, stop it, say something different. Amen. All right. He covered my unrighteousness. Let's put it that way. He covered the nastiness of who I am. I didn't get better to get to God. God came to me, covered me, corralled me, and made me better in Him.
Amen. Amen.
It's not that I have not sinned.
Praise
it's not that
Lord.
I'll ever be able never to sin. But because of God's goodness, I have a relationship with Him. And the more I walk with Him, as the song says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Amen.
Amen. The more that I know Him, the more that I love Him, more love He bestows. He puts more on me than I can contain. Amen. It's His goodness, His righteousness, His love. And as we've been talking about this, we understood on the first week that there is a God. Amen. In the beginning, God created. Those five words, in the beginning, God. You can stop right there. But understanding that there is a God who started all things.
Amen.
That He was before time, eternal in the past. He's in our present time right now. And He will be in the time, eternal in the future. He is God. Amen. And He knows you. He loves you. You were created in His likeness and in His image. And because of that, He wants to give you not just life, but life more abundantly. He wants to give you not just love, but a love that is so deep, so understandable that you can be wrapped up in His graces. Amen. That you can take those graces that you are wrapped up in and pour them out into somebody else's life and bless them with the blessings you've been given. That is that God is at work. Amen. He's been working. He is working. He'll continue to work. He's working around you every day. He's working through you every day. He's working so much in such a way to redeem those that are lost. Amen.
Right.
That is His job for us. That was His job in the beginning, was to redeem a lost mankind. Amen.
Amen.
And so God loves you. He's working to redeem you. And He's working around you, redeeming others. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but come into everlasting life with Him. That is good news. There is good news that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
All right? That He's working. Last week we started talking about the relationship, the love relationship that God has for you. Do you know that anytime anybody has had anything to do with God is because of the love relationship? The Word of God says that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, you know. I didn't get better and then get God. I got God and I got better. He loved me in the middle of my sin. He loved me in my brokenness. He poured His goodness over top. Anybody who's trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is how it happened. He saw you struggling. He saw you like dying in your sin. And He says, oh, Don, I love you. Donna, I love you, and I want you to know me. So He called you, right? You didn't reach out to Him. No man has ever sought God on his own, but God has sought man in every generation, at every time. We can talk about the greats. We can talk about Noah. He was righteous in his day and time. We can talk about Abraham because he believed God. It was accounted unto him as righteousness, right? We could talk about New Testament guys like Paul the Apostle, right? The Lord spoke to him and opened his eyes from an eye of hatred to a heart of love and compassion that changed the known world. In fact, it was accused of him that through the preaching of the gospel that he was turning the world upside down, right? Oh, these preachers of the gospel, they're messing up our theology. They're turning our world upside down. Well, if the truth was being known, they're trying to turn the world right side up. But God was taking the initiative, reaching men where they were in their sin, in their hurtingness, loving them there and bringing them from who they were to who they need to become. God was doing the work. You are supposed to be being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Are you able to do that in and of yourself? No. God is trying to do a work in you that if you trust Him, only He can do in you. I cannot be Christ-like in and of myself. If you do, that's called religion. Now, I can be religious in and of myself. I can be self-righteousness in and of myself. I can be self-centered in and of myself. It can all be about me, right? But that doesn't make me right with God, right? The way that I get right with God is I get God focused, God first. I start seeking Him before I seek anything else. I start surrendering my will to His will. I start believing that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. I want to ask you today, are you seeking after the Lord? Who here wants to be blessed? Amen? Who here really, really and truly wants to enter into this love relationship with the Creator of all things in such a way that it changed your life today? It can happen. It can happen. If you really want to know God, He is He wants to be known by you. He wants you to know Him. In fact, Jesus put it this way in John 17:3. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. He said, "This is eternal life." Ding, that ought to make your ears perk up. This is what eternal life is all about, that you know God, that you know the Father, that you understand something about Him, and not just Him, but the Christ, the Son, Jesus the Christ, who He sent into the world. That's all, just knowing God. So how do you know anybody? How do I get to know you, Mike? I got to build a relationship with you, right? We got to talk together. We might have to eat together. You might have to hear some of my corny jokes 17, 18 times in a row, right? But to know me, you got to spend time with me. How do we get to know God? It's the same thing. You got to spend time with Him. You got to take some of your 24 hours that you've been blessed with every day, and you got to give that back to God. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to love you. I desire this more than I desire NASCAR. I love you more than I desire baseball. I love you more than I desire lawn mowing, which that don't take a lot, you know, but there are some folks who worship their lawns, right? I got to love you more than I love my wife. I've got to love you more than I love my kids. I've got to make you first and foremost in my life, and I got to take some of this time that's given to me, and I need to focus it like a laser beam back on who you are. Oh, and when you do that, let me tell you, you're going to start experiencing God in this new relative way. You're going to start seeing Him moving in your life. You're going to get to learn that He loves you. See, a lot of people, they can honestly say that they believe that God loves them, but can they really say that they love God? I mean, really, ask yourself, do you really love God? Now, weigh that the thing that everybody's shaking their head, yeah, I love God. Now, weigh that love of God against how you spend your time every day. How much of that time is God-centered? How much of that 24 hours a day are you putting into the relationship with the Lord? Now, He loves you absolutely to the utmost, to the fullest. He cannot love you any more than what He does. He loved you so much that He became a human like us, to experience sin like us, or to be tempted by sin like us, and yet never to be given over to that sin, right? He was tempted in every way like a man, and yet without sin, right? God left His throne in heaven, and He became Jesus the Christ. did he do that? Amen. For you, Joshua. He did it for you. He did it for me. Christy, he did it for you. He did it for you. Every one of you, you could say, he did it for you. And if it was just for you, he would have done it. And not only did he come and he spent 33 years here on this planet to be tempted, to be hated, to be spit on, to be ridiculed, his family to hate him, for the whole world to dislike him. He came to be an enemy of the world that he might be the lover of mankind. That he might be God's love to us. Right? And he did that because you are special to him. You are special. Now who started all this work? God did. He said to Jeremiah the prophet, I knew you before you were formed in your mama's womb. Before you mom and dad ever came together came together, before that ever happened, God said, I know you. I know about you. I want you to know me. I'm taking the initiative in your life, right? And I want you to know me. So I said all that to get to where we're going to start talking about God's initiative in life, in our life. So after you accept Jesus Christ, and I even as I say that, rolling it off my tongue, that ain't right, okay? After I submit to the call of God, amen? Because when I say after I find God, that makes people think that God was lost. God was never lost, amen? He's never lost. He's never been lost. He'll never be lost, all right? He knows the beginning from the end. You can't lose somebody like that. And you do take a wrong turn at Albuquerque. No, he knew exactly where he was going, exactly what he was doing, and he initiated everything that's going on in this world right now. Right? He started it. He sets up the powers, the principalities. He's the one who put Trump in presidency. Everybody says amen, but they say boo about that. He also put Obama in the presidency. He also put Adolf Hitler in his position also. All right? Why did he do that? Well, God's ways are not my ways, praise God. We'll talk about that in Isaiah 55 a little bit later on. Now, after the call of salvation, after God calls us, you know, I didn't get perfect, you know. When I first heard the call of God and I said, yes, Lord, I know you love me. I surrender my life to you. Guess what I did? I sinned. I sinned the very next day, right? And the day after that, I sinned again. You know what I found was really funny in my life? I sinned a whole lot worse after I became saved than when I was. Before I was saved. Alright? See, before I was saved, I was not an enemy. I was an enemy of God, but I was a friend of the world. Alright? So everything I did, it felt pretty good. I was on that just do it thing, that sneaker commercial. Just do it. Or if it feels good, do it. You know what I'm talking about? That was on me, man. It felt good. I was going to do it. It didn't seem like it was bad to me. I didn't even know it was sin. But then there came a time that the Holy Spirit called me. And all of a sudden, the things I didn't think was sin became sin to me. And he started with my filthy talking. I used to be a cursor. Not one of those. And on a computer, they got a cursor too, don't they? All right? My wife told me about that the other day. She said, there's a cursor on your computer. I said, repent! Get it off! You know? But anyhow, the first thing God did to me is he took away my filthy language. You know? And as I started walking with him, he started sanctifying me a little bit at a time. You know, I'm glad God just didn't rip off the band-aid all at one time. He slowly pulled it with care and love and compassion. He rolled back my unrighteousness a little bit at a time. Now, I was justified through salvation, right? But my lifestyle didn't change automatically. It changed over time, right? The more that I walked him, the more that I tested, or he tested me, and I found him to be faithful, the more I could trust him in all things. Amen? So, as he said, walk with me. But I said, God, it's dark in there. I don't know if I want to walk there. He says, trust me, I'll be the light. I will be the light to your path. Just trust me, read my word, follow me. All right? God took the initiative. He's the one who called me out of darkness into his light. He's the one that called you out of your darkness into his light. You didn't wake up one day and say, today's the day I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. No, that's not how it happened. You woke up one day and said, oh, I'm going to go out and do what I normally do. And God met you on the road. All right? He met you in the middle of your life, in the middle of what you're doing, and he shined a light on you. He said, George, wake up. Guess what? The light has just walked into your life. What are you going to do about that? All right, you got two choices. You can say, yes, God, and walk with him, submit to him. Or you can say, no, God, I want my darkness more than I want your light. Amen? Which is the condemnation. Did you know that? Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17. John 3:19. Now let me get to this scripture because I don't want to. I know it by heart, but I want to make sure that y'all know that I'm reading the Bible and not making the stuff up. And everybody knows John 3:16, right? Amen. Well, John 3:17. For God sent his Son into the world, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation. This is 19. This is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved their darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What sends somebody to hell? You love your darkness rather than you love the light. That's what happened. Now, who initiated it all? Who sent the light into the world? God did. And why did he send light into the world? That we can know the darkness and depravity of our own heart. Amen? Now, I might not know the fullness of the depravity of my own heart, but the closer I walk with God, the less of me lives and the more of him lives in me. You understand what I just said? The more I walk with God, the more I lean into him, lean into this love relationship, Curtis Fitz, the sinner, dies daily. A little bit of me dies every day. And what do I replace that darkness with, that thing that's dying? The light and the love of Jesus Christ. I take his light, I take his love, and I put it in me. I say, yes, God, you're right. I am a dirty dog. I am a sinner, and I have no right to call you my Lord, but you loved me in the middle of my dirty dog sinfulness, and you covered me with your righteousness, and I want the light more than I want this core of evil that is inside of me. And you know what happens? I get a little bit better every day. All right? And the beautiful thing about this is I will never make it in this life. I'm not going to be perfect. But God will complete that which he has begun in your life. God's going to complete that. He's going to make you right. He's the one that's going to help you walk in the righteousness and in the light. But there's something we need to do. We need to keep walking in the light and not in the darkness, right? Now, I'm not saying that you earn your salvation, but I am saying once you are saved, once you have tasted the good things of God, don't turn back to the darkness. Don't do your best not to backslide. Amen? It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's in verse 39. Let me get it in my mind. We are not of them that turn back into perdition. All right? What's the writer of Hebrews saying? We are not the ones who turn back into the ways of death. We are not of those who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What did it say in John? What do you got to do? You got to believe, right? You got to believe that God is, that he's a seeker of those who he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, all right? It tells us in Hebrews that we are not that group of people that turn away and go back into perdition, condemnation, all right? Once you are born again, start striving for the light. Start looking for the light. Start looking for righteousness. Look where God is working, because God will never lead you into sin. You know that? God will never lead you away into darkness, but he only leads into a brighter light. And the more you're in the light, the more you like the light. I mean, I'm not from Rochester, if you could not tell. I'm from a place where the sun shines a lot. all right? And I moved into the darkness. Amen. I moved into a place where the sun, not darkness, spiritual, physical darkness. There's more clouds than there are sunshine here, especially in the winter. Did anybody get the blahs this year because the sun didn't shine? Amen. I did. Boy, it got me and Justin, we were crying. We were crying so hard, icicles were falling off our cheeks, man, because it was cold and dark, right? And so, but we were, when the sun came out, spring came, boy, happy day. Happy, I see you, Roberto. Happy day. The sun came out. You know, things started to grow again. It looked like death, but life was right behind it. So we just had to wait till the sun came out. See, I like the light better than I like the darkness. Amen. I want to be closer in the righteousness of God than in the darkness of my own soul. See, God's always at work redeeming mankind back to himself. We understand that? Do you understand that that's God's job? As he wants to reach out to the lost and draw them in, that they can know the one true God and that he loves them? Now, God's always at work at that, doing that. And so, the way that he chooses to work is through broken people. George, he is one crackpot. He really is. Mike, he's more messed up than I can say. But even more messed up than all those folks is me. Or Joshua, he's probably worse than I know. But see, we are all broken vessels. And God chooses to work through us to reach other broken vessels. You know, he doesn't take anybody who's righteous. And why doesn't he take anyone who's righteous? Because none are righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he wants... He takes the initiative and he reaches out to Stu and says, Stu, there's a character that I put in you before you were born. And because that character's in you, you can reach a certain group of people. I love you, Stu. Let me bring you in a little bit closer and let me work through you to meet those group of people. Right? There's some folks who are real smart and they know where all the silent letters are hid. Right? But if you ever see anything that I write, there are no silent letters. That's my way to make the earth green, right? I'm saving ink or graphite, right? And so I don't use silent letters. If they don't make a noise, why use them? America's the craziest language. But anyhow, so I don't use silent, but there are folks who would fail you if you didn't use all the silent letters, right, teacher? Right back here, she's laughing at me. She's a teacher, she knows. But God uses those folks in their character that he's already made in them. And then he comes... the dark character that you have, and he sheds light into it. And he uses that new character that he's building in you to reach other people that are just like you, broken vessels. He reaches through you to a lost and dying community. And as you walk with him, guess what? He changes you a little bit every day. You know, he changes you, he works through you, but it's God doing the work. It's God that initiated the work. It's God working through you. See, God builds the character to meet the assignment. See, God had to do a lot of stuff in me, weaning a lot of stuff, right? He had to do a lot of stuff in me because if you would have known me before I knew Christ, you would say, that little rascal, he can't do a lot of stuff. You know, he's disqualified from being a deacon. He's disqualified from this. He's disqualified from that. You know, he's done bad things in his life. God said, listen, let those things pass under the bridge like water. You walk by faith with me, and I will build your character as you go. I will take what I've naturally put into you, then I will add into that my goodness, my righteousness, my love in you, and through that I will use you, if you will follow me, to reach a lost and dying world. Isn't that great? God does that for you. All right, he builds the character for the assignment that's before you. I never dreamed in a million years that I would ever come up and become a Yankee in New York. Never. I was raised in the South. I'm used to sweating year round. I did not like the cold, and I still don't. But God called me here for you guys. He called me here to love you. He called me here to pour my life out onto the tundra up here and let whatever God wants to do, that's his business, not mine. I am his tool in his hand, and he's doing through me what he wills, not what I want. Because really and truly, if I had a choice, I would be somewhere much warmer. I think Asheville, North Carolina. You know, I'd be in the hills. It would be a nice, cool breeze. I'd have a little winter, have a little spring, have a little summer. You know, up here there was no spring. Right? This year there was no spring. We have the dates of spring, but we didn't have the temperature of spring. I mean, my grass grew that high. But anyhow, that's beside me. God builds the person to meet the assignment, never the other way around. You know why the church isn't used a lot nowadays like they used to be used? Somebody will start work and says, I want to do something, and then I expect God to bless it. Well, God says, hey, Joshua, I want to work in you going this way. And Joshua says, well, I want to do your work, but I want to do it over here. So let me go over here, God, and I'll do what I want to do, and I want you to bless it. That's not how God works. What did he tell Abraham? Get up, get out of your father's house, and I will bring you to a land that I will show you. Right? Get up, follow me to a land that you don't know, and I will use you there. Now, Abraham would have said, well, God, let me get up, and I'm going to do what I want to, and I expect you to bless me anyhow. Would have that worked? No. God needed him to get up, get out of his house, and go to where he was going to show him. It wasn't the other way around where Abraham said, well, God, today I'm going to do what I want to, and I expect you to bless me in what I am doing. It never works that way. Paul, it didn't work that way in his life. Peter didn't work that way in his life. He wanted to go back and be a fisherman after the crucifixion of Christ, right? And then they came early in the morning. They were out fishing. He had all the boys with him. Come on, boys. We're going to go back to our old way of life. And who did they see cooking fish on the shore? It was Jesus. Them boys had worked all night long, toiling, working, pulling those nets. Didn't catch a minnow. Didn't catch nothing. They were doing it their way. But they expected God to bless them. Bless me, God. I'm going to do things my way. God never said he's going to bless your work. God said, I will work through you and I will bless my work in you. But he never said, you do what you want to do and I'm going to bless you through it. That's not how God works. He meets you. He creates your character. And so as Jesus was cooking fish on the side, John looks out because I guess he had better eyes than Peter. Looked out and said, it's the Lord. Peter immediately steps down, jumps into the water, starts swimming to the shore. Man, got to get to Jesus. Have you ever wanted to do that, strip down, jump into the water, and swim to the shore so you could be with Jesus? Amen? I mean, you gotta do something to get closer to him. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. He's always at work. He's always doing. And he always wants you to make adjustments to what he's doing, going his way. It's not your will that needs to be done, is it? Did God say, hey, Curtis, today I'm going to create the world and everything out there. What do you think? He didn't ask me nothing. He still doesn't ask me nothing. And you know what? I am not his Lord. He is my Lord. He tells me where to go, and I say yes. He tells me where to jump, and I say how high, how often, and how long. And he says, it's none of your business. You start jumping. When you're through jumping, I'll tell you you're through jumping. So you start doing what I tell you to do, and I will accomplish through you the greatest of things. Hey, Noah, I'm going to flood the world. Gopher wood. He said, build it out of gopher wood. I use this a lot because I really think it was a mistranslation. I think God's more southern than what we think. You know? And God said, I'm going to have you build a big old boat. Now, could have God just reached down and scooped up the people that he wanted and all the animals in his hand and kept them right there? Absolutely, but he chose a broken vessel, a man by the name of Noah, all right? Noah and his boys, and he said, let's build an ark, because I'm going to do something that's never been done before. He's reaching out, he's talking to George. Hey, George, I want to use you, but because I'm going to do something 6 months down the road. So I need you to start making adjustments in your life right now, because something in 6 months, I need to get you in shape now for the job that needs to be done 6 months down the road. So you start going for wood, right? You start doing those things. You start making adjustments in your life. You start spending more time in prayer. You start spending more time in the Word. And not just spending time in the Word and prayer, but then when you hear, go, You get off of your pew and you go, right? The Lord lays on your heart, go visit this person. I didn't like that person. I don't want to go visit them. It's not about you and who you like. God told you to get up and go. So if you get up and go when he tells you to get up and go, you will receive what God has for you over there. But if you choose not to go, he'll choose somebody else. Amen? Because if George didn't do what God was telling him to do, do you think God's not going to get it done because George didn't do it? George is not that important. He isn't. None of us are. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about God. So God takes the initiative. He starts doing the work. He invites you to be in that work. And if you do not obey him, you don't get to experience him. Because he's going to do what he said he's going to do, whether you are part of it or not. You understand? Now he's asking you to do those things. He's asking you to prepare and allow God to be the center of your life, the middle of who you are, the very essence of who you're supposed to be. Now here's some examples of a God-centered life or a self-centered life. Let me ask you this. In a God-centered life, your confidence is in who? All right, God. In a self-centered life, your confidence is in who? Yourself. Now, who knows the beginning from the end? God does. Now, you don't. What are you going to do in the next 5 minutes? If I stop preaching, you're going to start eating. Right? I haven't gotten through the first page. All right, I got 4 pages of this. Anyhow, if you're confident, if you're God-centered, there's a new life and it's confidence in God. You learn to depend on God as you walk with God. How do I know that God is faithful? Because I have allowed him to work in me to adjust my walk to his call. Amen? And how do I know that he's faithful? Because when he called me and he started me on this journey, I failed, he didn't. He continued to call me. He continued to work in me. He continued to seek after me. Can I take credit for anything God has ever done? No. It's not me who did the work. It's God who did the work. And praise God, because I was a little bit faithful, he used me in the place that I was. Started teaching 4-year-old kids. And like I've told you before, I don't like 4-year-olds. I don't. I really don't. And it's not that they're not good little people. I'm sure they are. But I just don't like them. You know, I like them better than I like 3-year-olds. Right? But God called me in that classroom to start teaching 4-year-old kids. I said, all right, God, I don't like it, but I'll do it anyhow. And we sang those sweet little songs. Father Abraham had many sons, right? We sang those songs. Jesus loves me. This I know, right? We sang those. We danced around. We did, I'm going for a bear hunt. I'm going to get a big one. I got my very best friend right by my side. We did those things. We did them over every single week. 5 songs, 3 hours, all the time. You know, same thing. Ooh, let's do the bear hunt again. We just did the bear hunt. I want to do it again. We're doing it again. Right? So you do it again. Right? So you again. And I did not like it. Did God use that? Absolutely. I still have friends. These kids, they've grown and graduated high school, right? And they still remember us. They still love us. Why? Because I was faithful in a little thing. And just being there for them, pouring my heart and my life into them, or pouring God's heart and life into them, right? And so through that, God called me to become a minister of men, right? Start a men's group. And so because in our church we didn't have a men's group, I didn't know how to start a men's group. I was barely a Christian. You know, I trusted the Lord as my Savior, but I really didn't walk with him. But he said, hey, there's a need in your church. What you going to do about it? I said, all right. I'm going to say, all right, God. I went and asked my pastor. I said, Pastor Tom, how do I start a men's group? He said, I don't know. There's a man right over there. Ask him over to your house. Me and Henry Wong. He started, we started a simple Bible study in my house around a table. And every Tuesday we met, and I have been meeting with men for 15 years. Amen? For 15, and still, every Tuesday, we meet right here. 15 years, the crowds have been large, crowds have been small, but being faithful in that. Through that, starting the men's group, right, and God blessed it, and it grew and all that. Through being faithful in that, not that I could do anything, God did it. I got called to be a deacon. So I said, God, I can't be a deacon because I had a divorce. Right? Before I knew you, Lord, I was a slime ball, right? I married the first girl that I could, got her pregnant, you know, and I did things wrong. God, I can't be a deacon. God said, I created you. Don't be like Moses and say, I can't talk. Didn't I create the tongue? I'm giving you an opportunity to trust me. Are you going to trust me? So I said, sure, I'll trust you. Became a deacon. Ministered to many, many families in the church I used to belong to. Pouring my life into them. Learning to cry with them, even when I didn't care. Learning to cry with them. Learning to celebrate with them. Learning how to care for them deeply. God, I was traveling through Caledonia, going to Lake Forest in York. And as I was traveling through here, because I had been faithful in the four-year-old, I'd been faithful with the men's group, I'd been faithful with the deacon thing, I'd been faithful over and over and over and tested him and tried him, the Lord said, hey, Curtis, here you are in Caledonia, nobody's preaching the gospel. What you going to do? I said, it ain't none of my business what I'm going to do. Yeah, I don't know. God, what do you want to do? He said, I want you to start a church. I can't start a church. I'm no preacher. I've never been to preacher school. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't like people. I don't want to do this, God. This is not what I'm a floor guy. Show me a wrinkle in your rug. I'll take care of it. But preach? Really? You want me to preach? I've never done a sermon. I've never prepared a sermon. How do I do this? So I went and I talked to my pastor. And I said, hey, pastor, I think God's called me to start a church in Caledonia. He said, if God's in it, it'll work. And he kicked me out the door. He said, there it is. Go do it. You know? It's air and opportunity. Don't let the wind stop you, son. If that's what God has called you to do, he will make a way. We're coming on 9 years. And I still don't know to preach. Amen? I still don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. Y'all may think that, oh, he's brimming with confidence. No, I'm not. Every Saturday. You know, I get here sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning. What are you? And people ask me, what are you doing? You're there 5 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? I said, I don't know what I'm doing. God told me, woke me up to come and pray. So I came 5 o'clock in the morning. I started praying. Well, what you praying about? Well, mostly you. You know, I'm praying for you. And so God gives me these messages to preach to you, to talk to you, to show you that he is right and you're not. To help you grow in the faith. To help you have this understanding. Because I don't have, I'm just getting to my first scripture, all right? All right, so let you know how... the supper's here. You ain't got to go nowhere. Oh, I love you. I'm going to read this. It's already 10 minutes after. Oh, Lord. Read it up. Okay, I'll read that. But you know me. Once I start reading, I've got to talk with you, too. All right, just a moment. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is probably one of my favorite Bible books of the Bible. You say, why? Because it's just as good as Numbers or Leviticus or Genesis or Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of Hosea. I like them all. So I'll say everyone's my favorite one. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thine mind. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and thou shalt take of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates, And it shall be, when the Lord their God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto you, unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a godly, and give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and the house is full of good things, thou findest, filledest, you didn't put it in yourself, all right, filledest, yeah, you didn't put it in yourself, and wells that you didn't dig, and diggest not the vineyards or the olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt sit and eat and be full. All right, now look at what God is saying here in those first few verses there. He says, listen, folks, I'm the Lord your God, love me. I'm going to bless you, and you're not going to do anything about it. I'm going to give you a house you ain't never built. All right? I'm going to give you a vineyard that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you olive groves that you didn't put into the ground. I'm going to make this stuff grow for you, in you, and through you, and to you. Now, I'm going to do this when I bring you to the promised land. Now, what did they have to do there? They had to go in. They had to go in. They had to obey. They had to go in. That's all they had to do, was just, all right, here's a plate of food, sit down and eat. Now, if I make you a plate of food and I set it down before you and you look at it, don't put it in your mouth, that ain't my fault. Okay? It was made for you. It was put for you. All you had to do is take it in. God's saying that you're doing that. He says in verse 12, but beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord your God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. And thou shalt not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Did you see what God said? Listen, I'm going to bring you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do a work in you you can't do by yourself. I'm initiating the work. I'm giving you the stuff. I'm doing all the work for you. Now, when you get there, don't turn back. Don't start worshiping other things. All right, let me put this in a New Testament text for you, all right? A New Testament thought. I love you. I bought you. I made you adopted into the family of God in Ephesians. Right? And I don't have time to go through the scripture with you. But read Ephesians, and you'll find out who you are in Christ. Now, God says, I love you. I will make you part of my family. Do not turn back. Don't go back. Don't stop. Forsake ye not the assembly of each other as you see the day approach. Who here know that the day is approaching quickly? All right? The day of the Lord's coming like a freight train. You need to be in a Bible preaching church. You need to be in a place where you're hearing the Word of God spoken to you, ministered to you, brought up in you, that you can grow and walk and enjoy the goodness. What did God say? If you turn away from me, I'm going to take that stuff I gave you away back. You're not going to have that house that I gave you. All right? You don't walk with me. You don't trust me. You don't want what I have for you. That's okay. You ain't got to take it. Somebody else will have it. God loves you, and he wants you to have those things. But if you choose not to get them, you choose not to want them, he ain't going to force you to take it. And if you don't take it long enough, he will take it back from you. Amen? Have you ever had something that God gave you and he took away? I have. God gave me a lot of good stuff, but because of my foolishness, because of my sinfulness, because of me wanting to go the way I want to go, God said, fine, you want to go that way, you're going without me, son. Because I'm going this way, and you're going that way, you expect me to bless you over there in the world? I can't bless you in the world. You go with me into righteousness, I will cover, I will make things happen in your life. Amen? You know that he can do that, but he also can make things dry up in your life. Right? You choose not to walk with God. You choose to go your own way. You have a free will. You can do that. You can be self-centered, self-will. You can be focused on yourself. You can have pride in yourself, accomplishments. You can be self-dependent. You can be looking for the world and its affirmation. You can be looking, oh, look at what a... Let me come here and pat you on the back.
Good going, buddy. Man, the world loves you.
maybe not so much God, but the world loves you. Listen, I would rather be hated by this world a million times over and loved by God than loved by this world and hated by God. You know? You got to make up your mind. Choose you today who you are going to serve. Either your fathers, the gods that they served back in the times of Egypt, back in the times of your sinfulness, back there, you want to serve them? You can. But I'm asking you to choose life. I'm asking you to rest in the initiation and the investment that God has in you. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Obey Him. Fulfill what He has in your life. I guess we're going to keep talking about this next week. All right, because really, guys, there's a lot more to this than what I've only got that far on the first page. All right, so there's a lot of this. And what it's all about, and all this is really about, is God's love for you. And if every piece of grass was a quill, and the oceans were nothing but ink, and every person here was a scribe by trade, you could not write in all of the volumes of the papers and the books of the whole world the amount of God love that God has for you. If every man was a scribe, and every blade of grass was a quill, if y'all who don't know that means bit, a pen, right? If you could just always write about the goodness of God, you couldn't do it. Time wouldn't allow it. He loves you, and He's initiating in you. He's taking the initiative in you, through you, to build this love relationship to you, that you can accomplish His will on this earth. Amen? I love you guys. Come on up and play a closing song if you don't mind. And we're not going to sing this one. Oh, have thine own way. Yeah, we'll sing this. And if you felt the Lord speaking to your heart this morning, and you know that you need to make adjustments in your life, 544. Come talk to me. Come talk to George.